We're to have a talk this evening by Brother Alec Fisher, the title of the talk is The Wisdom of God in a Mystery. And he's asked, by way of introduction, that we read from the first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 2. So with that reading, I now ask for your careful attention to our brother Alec as he speaks to us, entitled The Wisdom of God in a Mystery.
Well, good evening, dear brethren and sisters. First, may I say that this is not the address that's on the programme. That was to have been given by Brother Colin Attridge. But I was asked to consider an address on a wisdom subject, and this was in fact prepared by my father-in-law, the late brother Ben Brown, given at King's Winford in 1974. So I hope that I will give him justice. My dear brethren and sisters, when we come to study a subject with such an awe-inspiring title as The Wisdom of God in a Mystery, we are compelled to think deeply and acknowledge thankfully the revelation that has effected upon each one of us. These words are taken from the second chapter of the first letter to the Corinthians. Reading from verse 6, the apostle says, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." If we turn forward a few pages to Ephesians 4, we shall see the same expression used there. Ephesians 4, verse 13. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Possibly, if you refer to the margin in your Bible, you will see that perfect means full grown. Turning back then to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, we continue. "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Verse 14. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The word wisdom means soundness of judgment in matters relating to life and conduct applied to the Almighty. Wisdom is infinite. We sing, do we not? God is wisdom. God is love. And the psalmist is outstanding in his recognition of it. "O Lord, our Lord," he says, "how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Mystery means hidden or inexplicable matter, secrecy, obscurity. But in the confines of our consideration this evening, it means religious truth known only by divine revelation. The word is actually a transliteration of the Greek word mysterion, which means a sacred secret, something concealed that can be revealed. something understood only by the initiated. Well-known examples occur in the book of Daniel, for example. In the second chapter, you will remember the verse, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28. Daniel says, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." When the disciples came to Jesus to ask him why he spoke to the people in parables, he explained that it was given unto the disciples to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to the people it was not given, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Then when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans and told in chapter 11, verse 25 of the wild olive grafted into the true olive, he said, this is Romans 11, 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." And his thoughts bring out that telling exclamation, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." Similarly, in the Corinthian letter before us, he writes to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, those energized by the wisdom and power of God through Christ Jesus, to them the words are amalgamated in the phrase, "the wisdom of God in a mystery." What does he mean? We know that Jesus is establishing a new covenant, fulfilled the law, and following the Jews' rejection of him, salvation came to the Gentiles. We know too that the purpose of God was revealed from Genesis to Malachi. This is what the writer to the Epistle to the Hebrews tells us in his opening words, Hebrews 1 and verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." And when we reflect upon the gospel narratives and the few who forsook all to follow Jesus, upon the Acts of the Apostles and the epistles with their records of those who responded to the call, our understanding of the wisdom of God in a mystery begins to emerge, because it is in those areas where religious truth by divine revelation obtains. In Old Testament times, the secrets of the kingdom were present, but they were not openly revealed. There are many prophecies, types, and shadows, but these remained concealed until Jesus revealed them to his disciples. It was not realized that the kingdom would be rejected, and that there would be a long interval until the time of its being set up in glory. Albeit, we do know that Abraham rejoiced to see the day. Job had a realization of it. So did David and others. The mystery was there from the beginning, from the time that the enmity was present in the Garden of Eden. It shows itself in signification of the names of the 10 patriarchs, the genealogy given in 1 Chronicles chapter 1. I have to say, Brother mentions meanings of the names, but I'm afraid I've not been able to verify some of them. Adam, the earthly man. Sheth, placed on earth. Enosh, mortal through sin. Kenan, miserable through sentence of death. Mahalalel, the illuminated of God, the true light. Jared, shall descend. Henoch, disciplined, dedicated as a sacrifice. Methuselah, he has sent his death. And Lamech, afflicted ones. And Noah, rest, consolation will be given. But it was Jesus who made the mystery known, followed by the apostles who, through the Holy Spirit, preached the gospel of the kingdom. Generally speaking, the resurrection had never before been known to the sons of men. The Apostle Peter speaks of this in his first epistle, chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 8. Whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet, believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Even the disciples were unaware of the sacrificial aspect of Jesus' life until he was glorified. Martha's faith was vividly demonstrated as she talked with the Master at the tomb of Lazarus. I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection at the last day, she said. And as the seed of the woman and the prospective holder of the keys of the grave lifts Lazarus to life. I am the resurrection and the life, he said. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That is, never die a permanent death. The Thessalonians who had received the word were not left in ignorance of this, for the words are explained to them, as we see from 1st Epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Paul's words to the Corinthians clinch the matter. They are so often misread, but as his true brethren and sisters, we recognize their meaning. From the 15th chapter of his first epistle, we read, verse 50, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The Apostle Peter was the first to proclaim the mystery to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and saith unto them, Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Then he relates how David foresaw these things, and how Christ would be raised up to sit on his throne, and continues, verse 31, He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Then Peter said unto them, Repent, And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. In the next chapter, Peter and John proceed on the same theme. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. There are three quotations that make special reference to the mystery. They are contained in the letters to the Romans, the Ephesians, and the Colossians. The matter is expressed in words much better than ours, so we read them. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You may have noticed in the opening verse of our chapter in Corinthians that the mystery is also styled the testimony of God. In verse 6 of the first chapter, it is the testimony of Christ. And in the second letter to Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. No wonder the apostle is eager to impress upon us the wonder of the mystery. We feel his zeal in all that is said of him in the Acts and all that he says in his 13 epistles. It is hardly possible to exaggerate the extent and the vast importance of all the services he has rendered to his brethren and sisters in teaching us those profound truths and the wisdom of God in a mystery. Through him has the love of Jesus been spread abroad to the Gentiles, giving justification by faith and spiritual consolation by the blood of the new covenant. His profuseness of exposition engenders our deepest admiration, and he indeed has accomplished much in bringing us all to that unity of the Spirit within the purpose of God. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Comparatively few know the mind of the Lord. There was the case of the Ethiopian eunuch. How shall I know, he said, unless some man guide me? Yes, he was guided. So was Paul. And we too have been brought to the same saving grace. To us, the mystery has been unfolded, and having been enlightened and obedient, we shall in all seriousness become the servants of God. He that receiveth the testimony of Jesus hath set to his seal that God is true. He endorses understandingly all that God has done for him. He rejoices in his redemption from sin and in the same hope of attaining to life everlasting in the kingdom of God. He is deeply conscious of his separateness, recognizing that he has been purchased out of the way of death, of which is the wisdom of this world. The natural man that receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The message of the apostle was heralded in humanity. There was no grandeur, no self-praise. And I, brethren, he says, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So, in our consideration of these wonderful things, it is required of us to be like-minded. As recipients of the wisdom of God, we have a common relationship hidden with God from the beginning. We are reminded that it was he who knew us and drew us into the fold. We tend to think sometimes that our members have joined with us because of our own effort, that the ecclesia is here because we have established it so. But whilst we are all, of course, constituents, it is all of God. We are all on a higher plane. We have not received the spirit of the world. No, we have been rescued from that. But the Spirit, which is of God. This unites us in his love and the fellowship of his Son in the patient waiting of his coming again with the Amen, the mighty ones of faithfulness. Our calling, therefore, requires conduct in anticipation of these things. It is a high standard with humility, but it is a responsibility we need to take. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself.